And our parasha, it's not the first time, as we'll see, but one of the mitzvot that our parasha deals with, and if you have a chumash, I did not put it in the top of the sheet, but if you have a chumash, you can open up to our parasha in Perek Chaf Hei, really at the end of the Sefer, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Lamed Hei, we'll start with that. Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Lamed Hei. V'chi yamuch achicha umata yado imach v'hechazakta bo ger v'toshav v'chai imach. You'll notice, this is only a tangent, but you'll notice that throughout the parasha and much of the Torah, when it's talking to B'nai Yisrael, which is a group, it speaks in plural, but you'll notice a few times in our parasha, it speaks in singular, second person. V'chiyamuch achicha, when your brother, sister, is in pain, don't think that you're part of a group. You have to say that God is talking to you specifically. There's nobody else around. Only you, so to speak, can help this person. And you'll see that throughout the parsha. Anyway, so the Torah says, V'chiyamuch achicha, when your sibling is in real trouble. And by the way, that's the idea. The message is that all of Klal Yisrael is one unit. If Chalila V'chas, your sibling, asked for a loan, of course you give them a loan. A stranger, I don't know about. I mean, hopefully you will also, but that's a different mitzvah of giving strangers loans. But if you treat your stranger, a stranger like a sibling, then of course you will. Of course you will. So what should you do when you loan the money? Lamed Vav. Al tikach meito neshech v'tarbit v'yareita me'elokecha v'chei achicha imach. When you do lend money, you may not take interest. You may not take interest. Al tikach meito neshech v'tarbit. And the word neshech is a very powerful word. Rashi in Parshat Mishpatim, which I put at the top of your page, tells us that what is ribit? Why is ribit? Why is interest called neshech? Shehi kinshichat nachash. It's like a bite. It's like a bite. Shenoshech chaburak tana biraglo. A person gets a little bite from in their leg, a tiny little bite, but then ve'enu magish. I'll borrow $1 million? Okay. 15%? Okay. How much is that? Upitom, humibats beits, vinofeach ad kod kodo. At some point, the venom gets into the leg, and it swells up, and it, all the way to the skull, so to speak, all the way to the head, all the way, it's a little bite, which you don't feel, and it blows up. V'nofeach ad kokodo, kach ribit, einu margish, v'einu nikar, ad shaharibit ola, u'mechsaro mamon harbei. Mechasro mamon harbei, you cause a ton of money lost. A little bit of interest, and it compounds, and it compounds, and it compounds, until it literally takes over chalila v'chas. So I can get it, I understand it, I'm not going to charge interest on my sibling, I'm not going to charge interest on someone who I love, so of course I'm not going to. That we get. It's a beautiful idea. Even if, you know, if I were a plumber and my sibling had a problem in his house or her house, so maybe, depending on how much money I had, maybe I would do it for free. Or maybe I would charge just cost. I was actually talking to somebody on Shabbos yesterday, and a woman in our shul, her husband is a contractor. And she told me that her husband got into a little bit of a fight with another contractor. Why? Because they were both bidding on a shul. And they were both bidding on the cost it would take to do some job in the shul. And the other guy charged X amount of money. I'm sure it was very fair. But her husband charged way less. Not a little less, way less. And the other guy said, "How dare you undercut me like that?" And the first guy said, I am making the shul pay for all the materials. I'm making the shul pay for all my employees. But he said, I myself will not take profit when I work on a shul. I thought that was really huge. That's a huge deal. So if I'm a plumber and my sister needs work, maybe I'll charge her for my employees, depending on my ability. Maybe I'll charge her for materials, but I'm going to charge her for me? I'm going to per hour? No. And the same is true with my plumbing ability. The same is true with my money. She'll pay me back. This is not a gift. She'll pay me back. But interest? No. Okay, so that's good. That's easy. The problem is that our pasuk, go back to your chumash. The problem is that our psukim don't stop there. Let's go back to the psukim that we read. V'chi amuch, I'm in perek, chaf hei pasuk lamed hei in our parasha. V'chi amuch achicha, umatai yado imach, v'chazakta bo gevet orsha, v'chai imach, al tikach meito neshech v'tarbit, v'yarete melokecha, v'chai achicha imach. Et kasbecha lo titein lo b'neshech, uvemarbit lo titein ochlecha. Same is true with food. Good! Lamechet. Ani Hashem Elokechem, asher utzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, latet lachem et eretz Kanaan, liyot lachem le'elokim. What's that connection? It's true! I'm not saying that Pasuk Lamechet is not true, Chas v'Shalom, of course it's true, but what's the connection? Ah, so maybe you'll say, I can charge interest in Chutz La'aretz, but I can't charge interest in Israel. That would make perfect sense, because it says, don't take interest. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, latet lachem et Eretz Kanaan. But look at the next source down, the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Samachet tells us, no heget b'chol makom, u'b'chol zman, b'zacharim u'nekevot. It's not related to Israel. Nowhere in the world are you allowed to take interest. So what is the connection between Eretz Yisrael, Yitziat Mitzrayim, Eretz Yisrael, and interest? These are two different things completely. Entering Israel, I understand certain mitzvot atzluyot ba'aretz. Leaving Mitzrayim, I understand all the mitzvot of Yitziat Mitzrayim and Zecher Yitziat Mitzrayim. But this is monetary stuff. Money stuff works all over the place. So why would the Torah juxtapose this remembrance? Remember that I took you out of Egypt to bring you into Israel, and don't take interest. What's the connection? So I want to share with you a very beautiful answer. It's the third source down from the Maharal. The Maharal is Rabbi Yehuda Low, the Maharal of Prague. Marenu Harav Low, Maharal of Prague. He died in 1619. The Maharal says the following incredible idea. I'm going to just read the underlined words. Says the Maharal. He asked this very question, and it is very appropriate, I think, to you and to me, not only because it's in this parsha, but because of the time period we are in modern Jewish history. Behind us is Yom HaShoah, and Yom HaZikaron, and Yom HaTzma'ut. Today is Lag BaOmer, ahead of us is Yom Yerushalayim. It's mamish connected. The Maharal says that there is an essential difference between us as a people, as a nation, before we left Mitzrayim, and after we left Mitzrayim, and once we entered Eretz Yisrael. There is something changed in that desert. Something changed in Yehoshua, Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet, Perek Hey, when Bnei Yisrael crossed over the Yarden and entered Eretz Yisrael. Says the Maharal. Again, for time purposes, I'm only going to read the underlined words. Says the Maharal, Shelo na'asu Yisrael arevim ze ba'ad ze. Bnei Yisrael did not become arevim. Everyone knows that expression. Kol Yisrael arevim ze ba'ze ze la'ze. An arev is a co-signer. That's what it means. In halachic literature, an arev is a co-signer. I go to the bank and I want to borrow $1 million, and the bank says, who are you? You don't have the money, you don't have the assets. And I turn to you and I say, would you mind if you co-signed on my loan? I'm going to take the risk, I'm going to pay back the loan, but you have a vested interest in my success. Because if I don't pay back the loan, who's the bank going to? You. That is what an arev is. When we say Kol Yisrael arevim ze lazer ze bazeh, we talk about everyone cares about each other. But the halachic definition, it's true, but the halachic definition is that we care about each other's success because we're in this together. If my business fails, the bank is coming after you. Says the Torah, says Chazal, Kol Yisrael arevim ze bazeh. We're co-signers of each other. We care about each other. Your success is my success. Chas v'shalom, your failure is my failure, and vice versa. Says the Maharal, that is beautiful. That's chillworthy. But it wasn't always so. Ki nikra arev, we didn't become arevim ze bazeh yet. Ki nikra arev, arev, a person can only be called a co-signer. Arev comes from the word me'urav, comes from the word erev. In the evening, everything seems to mix together, lights and darks and colors, and things mix. Me'urav is things are mixtures. You go to a restaurant and you order a me'urav, it's a mixture. Everything's mixed. When I'm separate and you're separate, then I don't care about your success and you don't care about mine. But when we're mixed, we care about each other. A person can only be called an arev shehu me'urav im hasheni. When we care about each other, when we're together, when we work together. V'lo na'asu Yisrael mechubarim lihiyot am echad legamrei ad sheba'u la'aretz. We weren't fully together until we got into the land of Israel. V'hayu b'yachad ba'aretz. V'haya lahem mekim echad. And we had one focus. What's that? One thing that kept us together. Be'olam hazeh. Hu Eretz Yisrael. V'al yedei Eretz Yisrael heim am echad legamrei. Says the Maharal, this Pasuk is teaching us, this Maharal is quoting our Pasuk. Look up what I didn't read. He's quoting our Pasuk. This Pasuk is teaching us something very deep and very profound, not just a technical detail in Dine Mamonot, which is also important. It's that the reason why you cannot take interest from each other is because you're me'urav with each other. And why and when are we me'urav with each other? When we get to the land of Israel. When we get to the land of Israel, there's a togetherness. We are in this together. It makes sense now why Moshe was so upset at Shevet Gad and Shevet Reuven. How dare you? You're going to pull us apart. And that's one of the explanations why Moshe Rabbeinu took part of Shevet Menashe and took them on the other side of the Yarden. Because once you have one shevet split in half, it's a natural bridge. Achdut is what matters. And when do we feel that achdut? That arevut? Our not just a common goal, but your success is mine and vice versa, and my failure is yours and vice versa, when we enter the land of Israel. This idea is said also by Rav Kook. Rav Kook on the next source down, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, the first chief Ashkenazi chief rabbi of British Mandate Palestine. He died in 1935. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook wrote many svarim. And one of the svarim is called Mishpat Kohen. We have it here. We have Mishpat Kohen. Mishpat Kohen is a series of she'ilotu tshuvot in the topic of mitzvot atzliyot ba'aretz and mitzvot regarding the Beit HaMikdash, Hilchot Sanhedrin, Hilchot Korbanot, etc. It was compiled by his son Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kohen Kook, and it was published for the first time in 1937, and then was republished a few times. Rav Kook that I quoted here actually comes from the volume printed in 1966. And Rav Kook here mentions something which I think Rav Kahana hinted to on Thursday night. There is a Gemara in Masechet Menachot Daf Samach Hei. The Gemara in Menachot Daf Samach Hei that deals with the machlokot between the tzedukim and the prushim. Between the tzedukim who believed only in Torah Shebichtav and the prushim chazal who believed in Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. There were a number of machlokot, and especially in the second Beit HaMikdash, Chazal were petrified by the tzeduki infiltration in the Beit HaMikdash. Many things that you and I do today are still remnants of fear that we had with the tzeduki infiltrating. You may remember, we didn't do it this last Sukkot, my mistake. You're going to see it this coming Sukkot. At the Beit HaMikdash, at the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, when the Kohen pours the water, we always pour wine on the Mizbeach, when the Kohen pours water, you're going to see that the Kohen is going to stand, usually he pours very low down, next to the tube in the corner of the Mizbeach, so that nothing spills. For water, he's going to pour it very high up, so that everyone can see that he's pouring water. Why? Because the Tzedukim don't believe in Nisuch HaMayim. They didn't believe in pouring the water because it's not written anywhere in the Torah. It's written in Torah Shebaal Peh. So there was a story, the Mishnah tells us, of a Tzeduki Kohen who poured the water very close down. Nobody saw. He poured it on his foot, not down the tube of the in the Mizbeach. And as soon as someone noticed it, they actually pelted him with esrogim. That's mamish, that's in the Mishnah. And that taught him a lesson. You know, you don't fool around with Chazal. But that was one example. Many examples. The Korban Omer is another one that you probably heard before. Parshat Emor. Yesterday, Mimacharat HaShabbat said the Tzedukim every single time that there is, we bring the Omer on Motzei Shabbos. Mimacharat HaShabbat. What does Torah Shebaal Peh say? And the day after, Pesach. Right? According to the Tzedukim, Shavuos always falls out on Motzei Shabbat. According to Chazal, it falls out 7 weeks after whenever this Pesach was. Anyway, another machloket. It's a Gemara in Menachot Daf Samach Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara gives a machloket about the following idea. Bill Gates is not mentioned in the Gemara, but let's pretend he is. Bill Gates comes to the Kohanim and he says, I got a little bit of money. I am going to donate tomorrow's Korban Tamid. Very nice. We need, they don't have all the money in the world. It's very nice of Bill Gates. That Tzedukim said, welcome, thank you. Thank you for donating. And tomorrow we're going to say today's Korban Pesach was sponsored by William and Linda Gates. William and Linda Gates, beautiful. Maybe he'll have a little sign on the side of him or whatever it is. And the Prushim Chazal said, no. Absolutely not, Mr. Gates. If you want to donate money, beautiful. Donate money to Berek HaBayit, donate money to the general funds, and then we'll take the funds, but the money has to come from the tzibur. It cannot come from an individual. So machloket. Says Rav Kook, I'm not going to read the whole thing because of time. Says Rav Kook, what is at the root of this machloket? Everyone hear the machloket? Can a single person, a yachid, or partners, donate money, donate the Korban Tamid, or any Korban Tzibur for that matter? The Tzukim said, absolutely, why not? Matogu Manayim, it's a beautiful thing. How can you deny someone of that? And Chazal said, absolutely not. Rav Kook in Mishpat Kohen, Daf Reish Ayin Dalet, Amosad Rav Kook, says the following. I'm going to explain the top and we'll read some of the middle. Says Rav Kook, that there is a fundamental difference between the way the rest of the nations in the world gather and the way Klal Yisrael gathers. Klal Yisrael. Other nations in the world, you can be an individual, or you can be a nation, but the nations of the world really have a deen, are really essentially, they are partnerships. They're partners. You can have two partners. You can have 2,000 partners. You can have 20 million partners. Partners. What's a partnership? Pretend everyone in this room is a partnership. Beautiful. Sounds very nice. And it is very nice. We work with each other. It's a very special thing. Many of your mothers or fathers are partners in law firms or medical firms or accounting firms. Beautiful. It's a very special thing. What's a partnership? A partnership is that we work together for a common goal. That's a very nice thing. If one of the partners doesn't pull her weight or his weight, they may, under certain circumstances, have to leave. I can't keep working hard to pay for you. It's not fair at some point. If there's a reason, I can give you tzedakah, I understand, but at some point, the partnership is only as good, is only as strong as the individual members of that partnership. And we have a certain deal with each other. Imagine a medical practice. You're going to focus on internal medicine, and I'm going to focus on ear, nose, and throat. Why not? Ear, nose, and throat. I'm not going to do any of your work. You're not going to do any of mine work. My work, but it's okay. We're a partnership, and we're each pulling each other's weight. The same is true in a city or a state. This one will do the police. This one will do the fire, you know, the fire department. This one takes care of the law, legal. This one is the executive branch. This is the legislative branch. It's a beautiful thing, as long as everybody pulls their weight. Says Rav Kook at the end of line 9, Aval be'emet legabe Yisrael tzibur v'shutafin heim shnei musagim. They're actually two different things. Tzibur is a whole different concept. Kedemashma misugyo mimishnah detumur yud gimel amet aleph. 12. The Mishnah there says, Ein hatzibur v'ashutafin osin tmura. The Mishnah there refers to when you're allowed or when you're not allowed to exchange korbanot, and says, and you're only allowed to if it's an exact. You're not allowed to if it's an exact animal, but you are allowed to if it's different, if it's the same entities. But you can't. A tzibur cannot share a korban with a shutafut, and vice versa. What does that mean? Mipnei at the end of line 12. Mipnei sheyesh b'tzibur shel Yisrael kedusha umitziyut klalit. Tzibur has a kedusha, an existence that is wholly different. She'eina ne'erechet klal klapei hachelek shel kol prat. A tzibur, klal Yisrael, is not built looking at every individual. V'hi omedet lema'ala migidrei chaluka. It is beyond the ability to be divided. U'bishvil kach korbanot tzibur tzrichim lihiyot mishel tzibur davka shezehu inyan hakedusha shel haklal kulo. Says Rav Kook that the message of Chazal back to the Tzdukim was that you're thinking about Klal Yisrael the way other nations think about themselves. There's a certain contract. Some of you may have learned social contract theory. Yeah? I'm prepared to give up certain rights of my own for the Klal. I could walk away also if I want. And if the partnership gets disbanded because the two doctors or the two accountants decide to walk away, or if one decides to walk away, the partnership has to be reevaluated. Not true about a tzibur. A tzibur is its own essence. It's its own legal entity. Its properties are not shutafut. They're not partners. Not 12 million and not 14 million partners in Klal Yisrael. There's one Klal Yisrael, one tzibur. And if you were to allow this family to donate the korban tzibur, well, then that means that you're giving a korban of a shutafut. Korban of partners. We're not partners. We are an entity that is unique. And no other nation has that. The Maharal on the left says the same thing, but I'm not going to read it inside for time. That, says Rav Kook, is the message behind Korban Tzibur and Tzdukim, and that is the same thing that we said earlier about coming into Israel. That happened coming into Israel. A partnership is merely the sum. A partnership is the sum of the parts that belong to the partners. And that's not what a Tzibur is. A Tzibur is much more than a collection of individuals. A Tzibur is not just a group of people who get together and work together. It's a whole new entity. A community, a tzibur, is a living independent entity, linked together through the organic connection of the individuals, and not the interests of each individual. And that's what a tzibur is, and that's why a tzibur cannot, a korban tzibur, a korban that comes from the tzibur, has to come from the tzibur and not from the individual. You'll look in the Rambam, for example, in Hilchot Tefillah, a lot of people fall asleep during Chazarat Hashatz, the repetition of the Shemona Esrei. But the Rambam was very makbid to use a different language for repetition of the Shemona Esrei, and every brisker all the way down to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and beyond were very makbid to recognize that repetition of the Shemona Esrei, if you look in the Rambam, is not called the Tefillah B'Tzibur. Tefillah B'Tzibur is davening in a group. But the repetition of the Shemona Esrei, the Rambam calls Tefillat HaTzibur. I daven by myself with 10 other people, and it's a Tefillah B'Tzibur. We're in a Tzibur. And then I listen to the repetition of the Shemona Esrei from the Shliach Tzibur. He is the Shliach Tzibur. And his Tefillah is now called Tefillat HaTzibur. Rav Soloveitchik was makbid during Shemona Esrei, repetition of Shemona Esrei, to keep his feet together, because it's Shemona Esrei. They didn't learn, they didn't talk, of course, they didn't sit down if they didn't need to, because it's the Tefillat HaTzibur. There's a lot more to say, but I wanted to, at least if you flip the page over, there's a lot more to say, but this is very similar. This idea of caring about each other, specifically once we came to Israel, and working together organically, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, not just interest anymore. Now it's the way we work. And if you take a look at the top of the page, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot lists 10 miracles that the Beit HaMikdash had. Lohi Pila Isha Me'reach Basara Kodesh, a woman who was pregnant, didn't have a miscarriage, God forbid, because of the powerful smell, the meat in the middle of the July summer in Yerushalayim, never went bad, etc., etc. Number 10, Velo Amar Adam Lachaveiro Tsar Li Hamakom She'alin B'Yerushalayim. No one ever said that there's not enough place to sleep. One of the components of bringing a korban is you got to sleep over. In Yerushalayim, it's not a one and done, write a check and walk away. I got to sleep there and talk to people. Why are you here? I'm bringing a Korban Toda. I'm bringing a Korban Chatzat. Let's talk about it. Shalosh Regalim. And no one ever said there's not enough room to sleep. What achdut. But if you take a look at the next source down, and I'm going to speak quickly and not read it inside, the next Sefer is written by Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein. He's the author of the Torah Tamima. He died in 1941. He also wrote a sefer called Baruch Sheamar. And he says there on Pirkei Avot, he says, look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah does not say that there was enough room to sleep. That's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, V'lo amar adam l'chaveiro, tzar li hamakom shalim b'yushalayim. There was such achdut around the Beit HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. Of course it was squishy, but nobody cared. Lo amar adam l'chaveiro, oh, look at this, I gotta sleep here now, there's no room for me. Nobody cared. We're all together, and if you skip to the bottom of the page, it's a beautiful Gemara. In Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is beautiful. I'm going to read it really quickly, but we'll try to translate it. Ha'hu dehava ka'amar va'aziel. The Gemara says that someone used to say, Sanhedrin Zayin Amud Aleph, ki rachimtin hava aziza. When our love, rachimtin, was strong, aziza, when our love for each other was strong in the days of yeshiva, apute de safsira shchivan, we could sleep shchivan, apute de safsira, on the edge of a knife, on the edge of a sword. I'm sorry, on the edge of a sword. I didn't care where I slept, on the edge of a sword. When people love each other, so we get squishy a little bit. It's all right, because there's achdut, there's a tzibur. However, hashda de lo aziza. But today, unfortunately, when hashta de lo aziza rachimtin, but now when our love is not so strong, purya bar shitin garmide lo sagilan. Purya means a bed. a bed of barshitin garmide, a bed that was as long as 60 amot. 60 amot is 80 feet long. No, it's 90 feet long. I'm sorry. It's 90 feet long. According to some, it's 120 feet long. Huge bed. The suite in the nicest hotel. Still, Lo Sagilan was not good enough for us. But I don't understand. You can sleep on the floor with no mattress or pillow and you're happy. Or you can sleep on the nicest mattresses and the fanciest, schmanciest hotels and it's not good enough. How can that be? The answer is it's about love. It's about achdut with each other. And that happens in Eretz Yisrael, it happens in Yerushalayim, it happens in Mitzvah Shem and the Beit HaMikdash. And that is the message that we've been trying to instill within ourselves in the last few weeks and the upcoming weeks of Sfirat HaOmer and Lag BaOmer. There was a terrible stories happening apparently with some fights breaking out with people trying to get back on buses in Lag BaOmer. I'm sure it's a mistaken news report, because if it was true, it's such a chil Hashem. The whole point of Lag BaOmer is celebrating Achdut, and yet you get into a fist fight with another Jew who went to Lag BaOmer to celebrate Achdut because you couldn't get on the bus. That's one of many reasons why we chose to do what we're doing. Because there's an expression of love and a revut that we want to have and we want to share with others, and it happens in the whole world, it should happen in the whole world, but it's easier to feel here. And let's be zocheh mirtz Hashem to bring that love and to feel that love for each other in mirtz Hashem.